stick to preaching because I didn't even know those were two different tunes. You could have fooled me with either one of them. It wouldn't have made any difference. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. I am out of it when it comes to music. But I love it. Love hearing it anyway. All right, Micah chapter 7. You know, the funny thing is, this is what happens. I wanted to start the service at 1:15 for all those years. And we couldn't get in here and on time. Because the cleanup took too long. And ever since I made it 1:30... the cleanup was done at 1 o'clock today, and everybody's waiting around a half hour for the service to begin. You guys confuse me now. I don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. It's all good, though. And it is a casserole Sunday next week. We just ask those who can bring a casserole in, your favorite. I know my wife has many. That's her specialty. So we're debating it which one she's going to bring. Lindsay, I'm going to keep Lindsay out of it because she doesn't like some of the ones I like, so I get more say. Huh? Yeah, okay. Yeah, she did. Praise the Lord for that. And she'll make mine this year, too, again. Praise the Lord. You don't live with us anymore, so you don't get any say. She does have a very nice apartment, and she's doing very well. Praise the Lord for that. We went over Friday night to just visit with her. I'm the first time I've ever done that with her, and it was pretty neat. Now, she made us bring the supper, but it was worth it. It was worth it because she came and dog-sat our dog yesterday during the funeral. So that was the trade-off, and she was very good about that. So praise the Lord. She is a good daughter. I don't say that enough, but she really is. Micah chapter 7. Let me get right into it because Micah gets down, and I've learned to love the book of Micah, but his ending is tremendous because he gives us in chapter 7, four ways in chapter 7, ways which God is unsurpassed. That means that God is just absolutely amazing. God is just, nobody can do it like he does it. And so the first, and I love this, the first is judgment. Nobody does judgment like God does judgment. And you never would have thought of that because maybe you're smarter than I am, but I've never thought of it like that until I began to read through some of my commentaries. This God's judgment is amazing upon Israel. Now, it didn't all come at once. It didn't all come every time with fire from heaven like he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, once in a while, it comes with a flood and destroys the entire universe, all right, world. So God is capable. We know that. But God has a way of doing judgment. And again, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15 really sum it up. Micah said, thou shalt eat, but you won't be satisfied. Now, I got to tell you this. I ate, and I'm very satisfied. Man, that was tremendous. Thank you for everybody who brought food. But he said to Israel, you're going to eat, but you won't be satisfied. You'll cast down, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shall not deliver. That which thou deliverest, I will give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but you're not going to reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil. Sweet wine, but shall not drink wine. You know, God's judgment sometimes is simply gradual. It isn't what we think of judgment in death and destruction and annihilation. Sometimes God just simply judges us to get our attention. And that's what he was doing to Israel now. And he was doing it, and we see the judgment in verses 1 and 2. We looked at this last week. There was a breakdown in society. But that's God's judgment. We think society's just getting worse, and it is. But that's God's judgment. I'm going to show you that today. That's why I'm glad those of you who were here last week are back to hear the finality of this. But there's a breakdown in society, and it's really a breakdown in morality. Really, it's what the sign that Brother Ed has put in my yard. It says that we reward evil for good and good for evil. That's what's happening. That's what was going to happen. That was the judgment from God, and you have to see that. It's just not society's getting bad. That's the judgment from God. And I think that's happening in America today. It's just not that society is getting worse. It's a judgment from God. This is God's judgment. So when we sit back and say, man, society's getting so horrible in America, because we're and the more I listen to court cases and the results of these court cases, it just absolutely blows my mind. But that's part of the judgment of God. Because when there's judgment of God for Israel, there was a breakdown in society. A goodly man you could hardly find. You know, and again, it gave you the illustration. They leave the part of the crops for the reapers, the one that come in and get at the end, like Ruth and Naomi would come in and gather that you were commanded by God to do that. But it wasn't the full harvest. It was just a little part there that they could come in and get part of the harvest. But God said, he was saying, that's what Israel's like today. There's very few good men. They're not out there. And I tell you what, there's, especially in our politicians, there's very few good men. There's very few that love the people and want to do right for the people and want God to bless. They're few and far in between. So there's a breakdown in society. We covered all that. But then there's a breakdown in nation's leadership. You know, the wickedness of the governors and the judges. You know, they were talking about this, and the South Carolina governor came on. She's a lady, and she came on Hannity. I just wanted to see what Hannity had to say about that press conference that our president held, and because he's been saying all along he's just not mentally alert. She came out and she said this. She said, well, I don't know if it really matters, because they're just going to come up with something that's going to happen that's going to turn all the voting rights over to the governors, and it's going the same thing's going to happen in 224 that happened in 220. And you know, she may be right. It's corrupt. Now, can it be stopped? I don't know. I hope so. I hope we can have a fair election in 2024. We need a fair election. We need the people's choice. And if the people choose, but boy, I tell you, if the governors of those swing states and some of those Democrat states will get their options, of course, all the illegal immigrants will be able to vote. They won't have to have a card, a driver's license, ID. They'll just mail it in. We got to have a fair election. But I'm telling you, I used to get so discouraged over this, but as I looked at Israel, it's just a breakdown of leadership. That's part of God's judgment. It's just part of God's judgment that comes. The great man in that story is the rich man with influence. He desires to bring about the ruin and destruction of another. Simply put, the ruler demands gifts, the judge accepts the brides and the bribes, and the powerful dictate what they desire, and they all conspire together and they get what they want, and they reward good for evil and evil for good. So there's a breakdown in society. There's a breakdown in leadership. That's what we got to. But in verses 5 and 6, there's a breakdown in the family. So Micah, you know, if you just read this to read through the Bible through, if you do that, or you're reading some of the Old Testament prophets, you would read chapter 7 and you find it maybe a little bit interesting. But if you read it with this in mind. Verses 1 and 2 talk about the breakdown of society. Verses 3 and 4 talk about the breakdown of leadership. But that's all part of God's judgment. And breakdown of in verses 5 and 6 is the breakdown of the family. You read it. Let's read it. Trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. That's pretty close to family. That is family. For the son dishonoreth the father. The daughter rises up against the mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. That's the judgment of God, folks. We see it today. We see that today. We see divided homes. I've never seen divided homes so much as Democrat and Republican and conservative and non-conservative. It's just divided homes, and they've become enemies over this, folks. But that's part of God's judgment. That's what I want you to see. This isn't just man getting wickeder and wickeder. He is. But this is part of the judgment of God. That's why Israel's just going down the tubes, because the society's immoral. The leadership is corrupt, and the homes are awful. You know, in time to come, you can't trust your neighbors, his friend, or even your wife. Sons dishonor their fathers. Daughters rebel against mothers. Daughters-in-law against mothers-in-laws. And Micah's classic statement in verse 6 is, a man's enemies are the members of his own household. That's the judgment of God, folks. See, you got to understand this. It's just not a meaningless decline because that's the way societies go. This is God's judgment. It's part of God's judgment, for God decreed that whenever a society departs from him, the effects of that departure will be seen in every aspect of life. And you have to understand this. And this is what I wanted to get to last week, but I didn't have time. But Romans chapter 1 I think Paul gets some of his writings in Romans chapter 1 from Micah chapter 7. So this is what he wrote, and it's a lengthy passage, so bear with me. I won't read it all at once, but bear with me. Try to focus on this. It's Romans 1, 18 through 32, if you're following along in your Bible and want to. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, that's God's judgment, against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in righteousness. Why? Well, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto him. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. See, that's what Paul's saying here. Man knows better. Now, man isn't perfect because they're unsaved, but man knows better because somewhere, and you know this, I preached this before, Solomon says it in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He talks about, in I think it's verse 11 and 12, God has put in everybody's heart the knowledge that there is a God. I don't care. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they say they're an atheist and they believe when they die, they just go to the ground and cease to exist. They may be saying that, but in their heart of hearts, there's part of them that doesn't believe that. I'm just telling you, because God has placed it in the heart of every man that there is something out there. There is something greater out there. There is something. And even to show that truth, he said, look at the invisible. What's the invisible things of the world? Creation. Look at creation. You think this just evolved by chance? You think there was a great explosion and the Big Bang came and all this evolved as a result of chance and the Big Bang? Man, look around. See the beauty of the trees. See the blue beauty of the flowers. See the beauty of the grass that doesn't have tire tracks in it out there. Look around you. See the fruits, the vegetables, the sun, the moon, and the stars. As I can remember my wife coming from Detroit. I think the first time she came up to Fremont, she looked up at the sky and said, there's stars up there. Honestly, you can't see much in Detroit. It's, yeah. But she was amazed at the stars she could see up here. When we do go up to Northland Camp. I don't think I'd bypass Kobiak now because I think Aaron Wilson's doing a wonderful job at Kobiak. But at the time, I wasn't thrilled with Kobiak, so I drove right past Kobiak, killed me. Drove another 8 hours up to Northland Camp. But you'd go up there, and at nights, you could see the Orion at certain nights. And the stars, I'm telling you, compared to here, they're even much greater up there. You can see the beauty, and I don't know how you could look around and say, oh, my Siri just came on. She's looking for creation on the web. The watch that my daughter gave me, praise the Lord, it's cursed me. But creation, folks, I'll keep this hand in the pocket. Creation is amazing, and that's what he's saying. He says the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You have to know there's something more out there than just you live and you die and you go to the grave and you cease to exist. There's far more greater things than that. God has put it in your heart. God's put it in your mind. It's out there, folks, for you to see. And so he said, you're without excuse. So it's there. With the amount of gospel that goes forth, especially in America, I guess I could understand it doesn't go forth in some of the nations and countries and continents that it does. But in America, it goes forth greatly. I mean, radio station after radio station, and I'm not saying they're all perfect radio stations, but you can get the gospel, you can get Christian, you can get music, you can go to YouTube, you can go anywhere you want and find the Lord. It's there, available. But he's saying, you're without excuse. Why? Because I've revealed myself to you. That's why even people in the darkest parts of Africa, they're without excuse. And if they die without Jesus Christ, and you say, but they've never been told, but even through creation, and I believe this with my whole heart, if they desire to know about God, God will get the message to them if they desire it. And so I think people in the darkest jungles who've never been told, I'll probably use this illustration again, but it was really amazing to me. I read it a couple weeks ago. But they went to a place where nobody had ever heard about Jesus Christ. And they'd never seen a projector. And so they went into this city, this village, gathered all the people because they were going to see a movie about Christ, the death of Christ, the burial or the life of Christ, all the way to the death of Christ. So they hung some sheets. I don't know where they got electricity it was a battery operated, but somehow they had a projector that showed this film about Christ. And the missionary that's writing this said, man, they went nuts. They went nuts when they saw Christ. Then when they started beating Christ and Pilate took him and beat him, they just started booing. I mean, they didn't even know who Christ was. They'd never heard of any of this before, never seen it. And so they started booing. And then when Pilate put him on the cross and nailed him to the cross, the crowd just went crazy. They had to shut off the film and stop it and say, there's more to come. I mean, they were ready to, I don't know if they believe that was real life. They've never seen a movie before, film. He said, but settle down. Sit down, wait till the end. Then they saw him die and go to the grave. That missionary wrote, when they saw him raised from the dead, they stood up and cheered for 15 minutes. Just roared. If they want to know, God will get it to them. But the point Paul's making here is the same point I think Mike is making. They're without excuse. They're without excuse. And so because when they knew God, even through creation, they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. We see that in America. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart became darkened. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of an uncorruptible God, a perfect, holy, awesome God, into the image made unto like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Don't let it surprise you people worship idols. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have hands, they cannot touch. They have ears, but they cannot hear. They have mouths, but they cannot speak. Don't let it surprise you. Because that's what man did. When they knew God, even through creation, but they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. They became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened, and they began to worship the creature more than the creator. When God got to that point, when man got to that point, it said, God, wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. See, that's God's judgment, folks. That's why you don't look at it this way, but you need to. America has become immoral. The world's become immoral. It really is. It's immoral. But that's part of God's judgment. That's what we miss in Christianity. You know, we hate it, and I hate it that it's immoral. I hate it that kids can't go to a public school and not be inundated with garbage and filth and trash. I hate it that kids can't watch TV without having all the mocking and funness of all the things that are out there. I hate that. But listen to me. Like Micah was saying here, that's the judgment of God, folks. That's God's judgment. He said God gave them up to uncleanness. He it's like he took the hedge away. He took that hedge away that kept people where the Holy Spirit would try to block them from going in that direction and becoming so immoral. All of a sudden, God said, enough. Holy Spirit, I'm withdrawing you. I'm taking that hedge away. You want to treat me not as God? You want to serve the creature more than the creator? Okay. Here's your first judgment. You're going to become immoral. You're going to have an immoral society. See, that's God's judgment, folks. And so don't let it surprise you that America's immoral. Don't let it surprise you. That's part of God's judgment. So you sit back and say, I can't wait for God to judge. Oh, wait. He's already judging. He's already doing it. See, that's what Mike is trying to show Israel. Israel, yeah, you know, we talk about judgment and it almost came against Assyria, but God delivered them because Hezekiah went in and through the message of Isaiah and delivered them. 185,000 of his soldiers were killed and he put away. But he said judgment's still going to come, total judgment. And that was when Babylon came later on in 586 BC and first time just annihilated. Came through and annihilated. I guess that was the first time. That was the last time they came in and just annihilated Jerusalem and the temple and everything in it. So judgment, real judgment, devastating judgment was coming. But make no mistake, Micah said, Israel, you're already in judgment. And so judgment is coming upon America one day. It's going to come. Now, it may come when God destroys the heavens and the earth. It may come before that. We may just self-implode. I don't know. It could come. But I can tell you this right now, lest you waiting for that or expecting God to do that or wondering if God's going to do that, do know this, judgment's already come. And you know how I know it's come? Because America's become immoral. It's an immoral society. It's a wicked society. When homosexuality can be glamorized, when kids can choose what if they want to be a boy or a girl, that's immorality, folks. That's just the reality of it. It's wicked. But that's God's judgment. But he didn't stop there. For Israel, it was the society breakdown. Then it was the leadership breakdown. Then it was the family breakdown. Little different lines, because God said, through Paul, he said, God gave them up to immorality. That was the first breakdown. But then the second judgment came in verse 26. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of error that was meet. You see, that is the judgment of God. We got together as pastors years ago. I'll never forget this. And I thank God for some wise old pastors. I thought they were just old and over the hill. I had just gotten into the ministry. And I thought they were useless in some respects. But I'm thanking God for a couple old men there, because we're in an IFB. It was IFBA back then. Now it's IFBF meeting. But it was IFBA meeting. We were in it, and they were going to write a declaration of judgment and say that we recognize, and they were, because back then when I first got in the ministry, AIDS was just coming to the forefront. Remember that? In the 80s, I guess, that was when I got in the ministry. AIDS was just, and it was gonna hit the world wide. Well, AIDS is a result of what? Homosexual activity, immoral activity. And so they were talking about that AIDS was gonna become the judgment of God, but some wise old preachers over there stood up and said, no, 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 no. AIDS isn't the judgment of God. The judgment of God is homosexuality. And AIDS is just the result of it. The judgment of God was homosexuality. Who gave? That's why when I argue with the homosexuality, they don't like it. But I always take them to this passage. God gave them up to vile affections. God opened the door and said, you don't want to follow me? You want to serve the creature more than the creator? You want to do your own thing, have your own way? Okay. I'm just going to remove that hedge. And I'm going to pull back my spirit. And here's the judgment. Women are going to stop like in men, and women are going to go after women. And men are going to stop like in women going after men. Now, there's going to be much wickedness that and awful things that come as a result of it, but that was the judgment. So when I see homosexuality, I look at, I think it's dead wrong. I think it's opposite of the holiness of God. It's opposite of what God created in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. It's directly opposite of everything God stands for. But when I look at a homosexuality, I probably look at it, you know what? That's judgment of God. It's not going away, folks. It's not going away. I don't care how much we promote it and go against it. It's not going away because that is the judgment. See, there was a breakdown of society. There was a breakdown of leadership. There was a breakdown of family in Micah's day. And Paul's saying basically the same thing. There's a breakdown in morals. That's God's judgment. There's going to be homosexuality. That is God's judgment. So whether you like it or not, when you hear about all this homosexual activity, that's God's judgment upon America. And make no mistake, that's why I try to argue with that's God's judgment, folks. And God's judgment isn't good. It's bad. And as a result of homosexuality, there's going to be a lot of bad things. It's going to break up homes. It's going to break up marriages. It's going to break up the breakdown of family, the breakdown of society. It goes everything against what God stands for. But this just isn't happening. It's the judgment of God. Now, you can disagree with me you want, but you search this passage out. God gave them up to vile affections. God gave them up to uncleanliness. That was the judgment. And then the third judgment, that they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's the third judgment. These are the judgments of God. So when you see this, when you see these kids that go out for unexplained reasons, I don't know what's going on, they go into a school and shoot other people. That's part of the judgment of God. It's going to happen. Look at them. They're going to be filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness and maliciousness. They're going to be full of envy, full of murder and debate and deceit and malignity and whisperers and backbiters and haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful. That's the judgment, folks. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so what I'm trying to tell you, I don't like those things when they happen. I don't like those shooters, and I don't like all the wickedness that's taking place in America. But God said, it's just not going to be normal wickedness. I've given you up to a reprobate mind. I mean, it's going to be beyond just wicked. It's going to be horrendous wickedness. And that's what it's become. That's what America's becoming. But know this, folks. The judgment of God isn't that some people got killed. The judges of God is that he gave us over to a reprobate mind. And so it's going to happen in the world. And so when you see homosexuality on the rise, know that God's judgment's there. That's why Micah says his judgments are unsurpassed. Most people won't look at it like this. And maybe you never have. But immorality in the world today, that's just, God gave us over to that. Because if you're not going to treat me as God, you're going to serve the creature more than the creator. You're going to worship the woods and the trees and the grass and all these things. You're going to worship them? Okay. Then I'm just going to remove back my blessing. I'm going to remove back my spirit. And so, okay, you want it your way? You become an immoral society. You want it your way? You become a society that's filled with homosexuality. Have you ever wondered why? Like 1% of all people in America are homosexuals. But to listen to them, you'd think 50% of America is good with homosexuality. It's just part of the judgment. And then the reprobate mind, that's just part of God's judgment. And so whether you believe it or not, some of you sit back and say, I wonder when God's going to judge America. You missed it. He already is judging America. He already is judging the world. A little different than Israel. But Paul said it's going to be with immorality. It's going to be with homosexuality. And it's going to be with a reprobate mind. So when my daughter and Nancy go to the public schools, their stories are getting weirder and weirder. That's just not man moving in the wrong direction. That's the judgment of God, folks. And you watch, it's going to hit the young people. Can I say this? It's bad English, but you ain't seen nothing yet, folks. If the Lord tarries his return, you ain't seen nothing yet. And we're not going to stop it. You're not going to stop homosexuality. I believe it's the judgment of God. You're not going to stop immorality. No matter how many campaigns we'd have, it's the judgment of God. It's going to be there. Now, I'd like to save some people from it. I'd love to save some kids from developing that reprobate mind. I mean, they hate their parents. They hate authority. Really, they hate life. They're full of envy. And it says it right there, murder. Debate and deceit. Haters of God. Proud boasters. Disobedient to parents. But we're going to see it. You know why? It's part of the judgment of God. God has given us over to various sins and perversions and a depraved mind. God is a moral God. And he's faithful in doing what he's doing. And so I can honestly tell you there's no God like God in his judgments. He surpasses everything else because you know what? Probably maybe 60, 70% of you in this room has never heard something like this before. But this is the judgment of God. And God's judgment is already going. It doesn't have to be an atomic bomb coming in and destroying half of America or half the world. And maybe that'll come one day. I don't know. Maybe the judgment's going to come in just a total annihilation. It could. I don't know about that. But if you're waiting for that, know this. God is already judging. He's given us over to immorality, homosexuality, and a reprobate mind. See, that's Israel. So if you read chapter 7, God's already judging them. Now, annihilation is going to come. But that's why God is unsurpassed in judgment. For Israel, it was a breakdown of society, a breakdown of leadership, and specifically, a breakdown of the home, families. For us, it's a little different. But God is unsurpassed in judgment. Hopefully, you can see what Mike is trying to communicate, what message that Paul is trying to communicate to us today. Let's pray. Father, much more could be said, but I think they get the gist of the message here in Micah. God's already at judgment. And to prove it, we know he is. We've become an immoral society. We've become a society that accepts homosexuality as it's an alternate lifestyle. God knows, you know, we've got a reprobate minds out there. And it's going to affect our young people in an awful way. So God is already judging America. He's judging the world. And that's why your judgment's unsurpassed. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm not trying to get you to. I just want you to understand what's happening a little bit.